Well, it's Memorial Day weekend. Always an important weekend. For a lot of folks, it's the beginning of summer. Remember when I was a kid, it was Memorial Day when we finally pulled out all the outside furniture, because you couldn't be sure until Memorial Day that it'd stay warm. In the first church I served, Memorial Day was the beginning of the major contest of the year. In that church, I had six elders, and those six elders, in addition to being the spiritual leaders of the church, were the greatest tomato growers in the whole county. And they began their contests along about this time of the year. And they had contests for everything, because it was the one who got the first tomato who won the first contest. It was the one who got the biggest tomato that won the biggest tomato contest. It was the one who canned the most quarts of tomato juice that got the canning award. And it was the one who was able to have the most green tomatoes at the first frost that won the green tomato award. They had it down to a fine art. And you had to choose very early on which contest you wanted to participate in. Because if you wanted to participate in the early tomato contest, that meant, as the buds came on your tomato plant, you had to go pick off the buds. Because if you want an early tomato, what I learned is you have to let the plant put all of its energy into that one tomato, which works great if you want the early tomato contest, but it doesn't work well if you want the most tomatoes contest. The same thing with a large tomato. If you get rid of a lot of the little tomatoes, then your one tomato will get bigger. You got to choose which contest you're going to be a part of. It's important to make those choices. And I find it interesting that tomatoes became what their contest was all about. Because you really don't have to go too far back in history to find that tomatoes were thought to be the devil's fruit. People believed that they were poisonous. We have a niece who still believes that, I think. But the most amazing thing about this niece who hates tomatoes is that she loves ketchup. Now, how can you hate tomatoes and love ketchup? I can't tell you how many times I've had this conversation with this young lady. And what she always tells me is, they're different. And I say, no, they're not. And she says, yes, they are. Look at that bottle of ketchup and tell me it's round and sickening. You know, she's right. It's different. And for years, ketchup was really thought to be a horrible thing. Because ketchup was made in all kinds of unsanitary conditions, shipped in all kinds of unsafe ways. And so when you put ketchup on something, you were literally taking your life in your hands. You had to choose, if you ate ketchup, about whether or not it was worth it to come down with the food poisoning that probably would come with it. Well, along came Henry Heinz. And Henry Heinz decided that with modern technology, he could find a way to process ketchup so that it was safe, and so that it was good, and so that people could use it all over the place. When's the last time you wondered about the safety of your bottle of ketchup? We just don't do that. That's not something we think about. When's the last time you sat down at a table in a restaurant where there wasn't ketchup on the table? It's always there. Ketchup has kind of become the grits of the 21st century. It's just there. You can't do anything about it. It just shows up. And have you noticed what people put ketchup on? Everything. Isn't that amazing? Not that long ago, it was poisonous and something to be afraid of, and now it's everywhere, and we think it's great. We changed our understanding about how that all worked. Well, I think that's what both of the scriptures that we read this morning are getting at. Sometimes in our lives, we have to change our understanding of what it is that we really are striving for. Because it's easy for us to get lost along the way somewhere. And it's easy for us to forget which contest it is that we really are engaged in. You see, what Peter is trying to remind his followers is that we must remember that Christ has already paid the sacrifice for us. We don't need to do anything to earn our right to be in God's presence because Christ has already done that. All we have to do is accept the good news that Christ died for us. And once we accept that, then we can be the people that God has made us to be. Does that mean life becomes simple and easy? No. Does that mean we never mess up along the way? No. Does that mean choices become clear and easy? No. But it means that that grace of God, that love of Christ, that power of the Holy Spirit can be just like that bottle of ketchup, showing up everywhere you go in life. And instead of being something to be scared of, something to hold at a distance, it becomes something that's a comfort and something that adds flavor to our lives and something that helps us be who God made us to be. But you see, it all begins with us deciding what it is that's really important to us in life. Well, one year in the Great Tomato Contest, there was the great tragedy of the exploding pressure cooker when 8 quarts of tomato juice ended up all over the Stamper's kitchen. They came to the minister to make the decision about whether or not those 8 quarts counted. Talk about classes they didn't teach in seminary. Wow! I don't remember what I decided, but I guarantee if you talk to any of those 6 elders, they could tell you, because it was important to them. What's important to you? What is it that you'll remember? What is it that will light your way? May it be for all of us the love of Christ, the power of forgiveness, and the good news that God is with God's people this day and every day. And all who love the Lord said, Amen. Amen.